Beginning another series of lessons tonight, a series that I also have used many times in gospel meetings and will continue to use, dealing with lessons from Bible characters. Romans 15:4 says the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I don't know anywhere that we can learn greater lessons than to go back and look at the characters that lived in the Old Testament and New Testament and learn specific lessons from them. They did serve as examples, not only in showing us their connection with God, their respect for God, their need of carrying out the commandments of God, but as indicated in that verse in Romans 15, even in the area of comfort. Sometimes when we face problems in life, if we can go back and look at how God dealt with people in the past and how they dealt with the problems, it's helpful to us. And we literally do receive comfort from the scriptures. Not long ago, we studied a lesson on Thomas, asking the question of whether or not he was just a doubter. And tonight, we're going to talk about the man who walked with God. Here are some of the Bible characters that I'm going to be using in this series, and I'm going to describe them without telling you which character it is, so that you'll have a little bit of mystery in this and be trying to figure it out. I anticipate that this series on Sunday night will go at least through April and maybe into May. Next week, we'll have a lesson on the common man, God's relationship to the common man. We'll have a lesson on the seeker, the mountain climber, a man after God's own heart, a father who failed. We'll have a lesson on a man who was basically a problem solver, a lesson on two apostles who were alike but vastly different, a lesson on a man who was saved by grace, and that'll be an Old Testament character. We'll have a lesson on the reluctant dipper. Think you know who that is? And we'll have a lesson on the odd couple. And we may add others as we go along, but those are lessons that I intend to use. And I'll be announcing those each week, and I'll put them in the bulletin a week ahead without the person's name. Put them in like I have announced them tonight, so that you can do a little bit of thinking. I don't want to make everything too easy for you. But we'll be studying Bible characters. Tonight we're talking about the man who walked with God. There are two men in the Old Testament who are specifically described as walking with God. But one of them is a rather noted character, and we remember him for so many other things, and in fact, we'll remember him in one of these other lessons. It is said in Genesis 6:9 that Noah walked with God. But there is so much more about Noah that we need to look at that we will not use him on this subject. The other man who is said to have walked with God is Enoch. And usually, if I were to ask you in a class situation, who in the Bible is said to have walked with God, you would remember Enoch and probably would not remember it being said about Noah that he did. There's not a lot said in the Bible about Enoch. His birth is mentioned in Genesis 4 and verse 7. Later in that chapter, it is said that there was a city named after him. And a verse or two later, it talks about his having children and a family. In Luke, the third chapter, in verse 37, in a giving of a genealogy, Methuselah is connected with Enoch as his son. In Jude, the 14th verse, it says that Enoch prophesied. Though it doesn't tell us specifically what he prophesied, he is mentioned there as a prophet. But other than those passages, there are two passages in the Bible that describe Enoch in the greatest detail of anything that's said. One of these is in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is the faith chapter, or as we sometimes call it, the Hall of Fame chapter. Verse 5 says, By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that's probably what we remember about Enoch more than anything else, that he was translated and did not see death. The greatest description of Enoch and his life is given in Genesis 5, beginning in verse 21, after it is mentioned that he was born earlier in the chapter. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's basically the story of Enoch. And I might just go out on a tangent for a moment to remind you of points that we've made before in lessons and that I've made in the young people's class. One of the reasons that I believe the Bible to be the Word of God and not just the Word of man is the brevity of many of the stories that are told. You see, there's not a lot said about Enoch. Enoch was a rather important person. And yet, not a lot is said about him. If man had been writing about Enoch, he probably would have written several chapters about his life and several pages about his life, but the Bible simply records some very basic things that we can hang on to and find lessons in to apply in our life. Enoch is the man who is said to have walked with God and was translated and did not see death. As we look at these two passages, basically, and maybe refer a little bit to some of the other passages that we mentioned, I'd like to share with you six ideas about the man who walked with God. Notice that Enoch began his walk. I cannot prove this, but there's an indication in verse 21 that Enoch maybe did not walk with God in the earlier part of his life. If you read it, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Now that can be interpreted that he continued to walk with God after he begat Methuselah. Or it could be interpreted that after his son Methuselah was born, that he began to walk with God at that time. I don't know exactly when he began his walk with God, whether it was at age 65 or before, but I know that he began that walk. You've heard me say more than once, and I think I've said this in the last 2 or 3 weeks, that you cannot take the second step without taking the first. You don't believe that, just try it sometime. It is impossible to take the second step without taking the first. And last week when we were talking about mental preparation, I emphasized that idea that we have to be ready to get busy and to start in the right way, to start the new year off in the right way, since last Sunday was the first Sunday of the new year. And I think we see that point especially here with Enoch. It is said of Christ in Acts 1 that the former treatise that had been written by Luke and addressed to Theophilus was written of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. As we've pointed out before, there's not much said about Jesus in the scripture until you get to the beginning of his personal ministry. A little bit said about him at birth, a little bit said about him maybe in his second year or our first year, somewhere there when the wise men came. A little bit said about him at age 12. But most of what's said about Jesus is said from the time he began his personal ministry at age 30. And here in Acts 1, he says that Luke wrote about Jesus, and he wrote about him beginning his teaching and beginning his work of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. In Philippians, the first chapter and verse 6, Paul says, as he's thinking about the church at Philippi, I'm persuaded that God who hath begun this work in you will continue it until the day of the Lord. Paul admonished the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6, 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And if you'll stop and think about it, the extending of the invitation that we have at the end of each lesson, usually, and maybe at other times, is trying to get people to begin. I'm trying to persuade people to become Christians in the work that I do as a minister. I'm trying to persuade people who have gone astray to come back and begin anew the life living for Christ. And so there is a sense in which the work of a minister, the work of all of us as those involved in taking the Great Commission to the whole world, is trying to get people to begin, to start in that life. And it's interesting that when we look at Enoch in walking with God, he began. In the second place, notice that he walked. The word walked suggests action. There is the idea of sitting, not much action. Even standing doesn't involve much action. And there is the progression of this mentioned in the first verse or so of the book of Psalm, the first Psalm, where he talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he points out there that there is a sitting position, there is a standing position, and there is a walking position. I think sometimes too many Christians, so-called, are willing to just sit in Christ, or just to stand and not have very much action. Christianity is a do religion. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. How call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. James 1:22. And a companion statement to that might be ye doers of the word and not sayers only. Sometimes we do a better job of saying than we do with doing in many of our areas of life. So it's interesting that not only did Enoch begin, but he walked. There was action in his life. And God is going to look at us for the action that we have. He wants us to be active, not passive. Sometimes in church, we are almost like the little fellow that was in school, and the teacher was talking about that you should not be inactive and you should not be unconcerned, and asked this little boy what he thought about it, and he said, I don't know and I don't care. Well, it says, I don't know and I don't care that gets us into trouble. We do need to be cooperative, I understand that. But if we live our lives with I don't know and I don't care, we're not going to accomplish very much. And even in the work of the church, although we need to be ready to go along with others and to give and to take, when we get to the point that we don't care about anything and that we don't know about anything, we're going to be inactive. Enoch was active. He began his walk. He walked. And notice also it says that Enoch walked with God. It's not enough just to be active, but it's to be active in the right way. Suppose you need to get to a certain destination and you just go out and start walking. You might be going in the wrong direction and never get there. But if you're walking in the right direction, you'll get to the destination. There are a lot of people that are very active in life that are not active for God. There are even those who claim to be walking with God who are not walking with God. You remember a little further there in James, in Matthew 7, where we notice that we're to be doers of his word. He goes ahead and says that there will be many in that day that will say, Lord, look at all these things we've done. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Enoch walked with God. Amos asked the question back in older times, can two walk together unless they be agreed? You see, not only do we need to be active, but we need to be active in the right direction. When Jesus was criticizing the Pharisees in Matthew 23, he said, you compass land and sea, you go everywhere, you're very active making disciples, and when you make disciples of yourself, you're making them twofold the child of the devil. Suppose we're active and we convert people to our way of thinking. If our way of thinking is not God's way of thinking, what good have we done? So it's important not only to walk, but to walk with God. That means being in fellowship with God. 1 John 1, beginning at about verse 3, talks about vertical fellowship. We're in fellowship with God and with his Son. Verse 7 talks about being in fellowship with one another. That's horizontal fellowship. And sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about horizontal fellowship. With whom can we fellowship? Who's in fellowship? Who's not? And maybe the first thing we need to think about is that vertical fellowship. Because you see, two sons who have the same father are definitely brothers. And two people who have the same father in the real sense of the word, not just claiming God is the father, but who have the right relationship with the father, should have the right relationship with one another. And so we need to be sure that we are in fellowship with God. It is said in Hebrews 11:5 that Enoch pleased God. That's a powerful statement. Wouldn't you be happy if when you leave this life, it could be said at your funeral that he was a person who pleased God? That's just about as great a compliment as you can have. And if one's going to walk with God, that means he needs to please God. When we're walking with each other and cooperating with one another, there has to be an element of pleasing one another in order to do that. And so it says he pleased God. And God saw this quality in him because it says in 11:5 that his testimony was there. His life was a testimony to God. His way of life testified to God that he was walking in the right way. And that's the reason that he pleased God. He honored God with his walk of life. Sometimes we get to the point that we are interested in honoring ourselves. And we may make decisions in life as to where we go and what we do that will bring honor to us. Sometimes we are interested in honoring someone else. That's not always bad. A good wife ought to honor her husband. A good husband ought to honor his wife in the right way. But the greatest honor needs to go to God. And we need to learn to work in the Lord's kingdom in such a way that we do the activity and let God get the honor instead of trying to bring the honor to ourselves. It's so easy for us to say, look what I did, instead of emphasizing, look what God has done through me. I think Enoch was a man who would have been interested in letting people see what God was doing through him instead of taking the honor to himself. But there's something else interesting about this walk with God. I want you to notice it says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. He walked with God while he was in the flesh. He walked with God while he was about his daily activities. He walked with God and continued to have a family developed over these years. There are those, and you're well aware, who think in order to walk with God, you have to pull yourself away from your family and society and become a part of a monastery or separate and apart from the community in order to walk with God. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus did not pull himself away from people and get over here and live by himself, but he lived among the people. Now, there were times that he went up into the mountains to pray or apart to pray. There were times that he needed by himself, but the life of Jesus was lived out among the people. He went about doing good, Acts 10:38. And that seems to have been the way that Enoch lived his life. I cannot overemphasize this. I think we have a tendency to put Christianity into a little department by itself. And we think in terms that I live as a part of a family, I live as a part of my job, I live as a citizen in the community, and I live as a Christian. Really, living as a Christian is a part of all of those. What you do to serve your family is a part of the Christian life. When you do a good job at work tomorrow, that's giving God glory and praise if you live in the right way and use the right principles of honesty and decency and hard work. That's a part of living the Christian life. When you participate in promoting the community in the right way, that's a part of Christianity. I think we see that here with Enoch. He begat sons and daughters. He lived. You've heard me say many times that Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses. I am crucified with Christ. That first suggests death, but listen to the rest of the verse. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You remember the last point that we made in the morning lesson on advice from farm language? That although we must be willing to die for the Lord, that we even more so need to be willing to live for the Lord. Don't apologize for being a good husband. Don't apologize for being a good wife and mother. I've heard mothers particularly say, oh, I just don't feel like I'm doing anything in the Lord's work. I wish I could get out and do mission work, but I have my children at home. Maybe you've got a mission at home. Being a good mother, being a good wife, is a part of the mission of Christ. Being a good person on the job, being a dependable person at work, is being an example of a Christian. Enoch walked with God while he was still in the flesh. He didn't think he had to be caught up into some ecstasy or over to some side by himself. But in the mainstream of life, he walked with God. Notice also that he walked a long time. People at that time lived longer than we do now. In fact, his son Methuselah is thought to be the oldest man that ever lived, 969. Enoch was 365 when God took him. Notice it said 65 years up until he begat Methuselah, and then he walked with God 300 years, and God took him. It's evident in this case that his walk with God was up to the very moment that his life on this earth ended. And that's the way it should be with all of us. There may be times when something will happen to the thinking process and we're not aware of what's going on during the last few days or a certain amount of time of life. And yet in many instances, there are people who are able to have a clear mind, a clear process of thinking right up until they draw their last breath. And that's the way we want it to be. We want to have a clear line of thinking in our relationship with God up until the point that we're not capable of thinking anymore. Whether that comes prior to the moment of death or at the moment of death. We need to walk with God a long time. It is not possible for us to quit walking with God in this life and walk with Him in that life that is to come. We may slow down. We may change our pace. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved, Matthew 10:22. And it was only when Paul realized that death was literally around the corner that he said, I have finished the course and kept the faith and fought a good fight. And just before that said, I am ready to be offered. When was he ready to be offered? When he knew the end was there. And that's what's suggested in the life of Enoch. He walked with God a long time. Now notice what we've said so far. He began his walk. He walked action. He walked with God. He walked while he was in the flesh. And he walked a long time, as long as he had life. And then the unusual thing that's said in this story of the man who walked with God is that God took him. He translated him. He and Elijah are the two that are mentioned in that set of circumstances in the Bible. You remember Elijah that was taken up instead of dying in the usual process of death. Enoch was translated. That's something maybe that you and I do not understand exactly, because we've not experienced that even by observation. But whatever else might be said about it, it simply means that Enoch lived up to this certain point and God took him without him going through the process of death. He translated him and took him to be with him. He took him because he was ready. He took him because he had finished what God wanted him to do on this earth. And though you and I may not be translated in the same way that Enoch was, when death comes and the soul leaves the body of each of us, at least the soul part is being translated to God. It seems to me that the difference between Enoch and us in general is that evidently God took Enoch's soul and body completely. Now he separated that, it's left up to God. Whereas he takes the soul from the body and leaves the body when death takes place. But God took him. One of these days, not in the same set of circumstances, but somewhat like it, God's going to take you, and he's going to take me. The key point in this lesson is that at the point that God translated Enoch, Enoch was walking with God. And that's how you and I need to end our lives. 300 years is a long time. 100 years is a long time. I'll have a funeral Tuesday of a lady that's almost 90. I went by to check on a lady in the hospital from Henderson this afternoon who's 94. I think Miss Margaret Bond, isn't today her birthday? I think she's 92, somewhere around there. In the last few years, I've conducted funerals for at least 4 people that had crossed 100, oldest 104. 300 years, 100 years, are much fewer than that. The idea is we need to be sure that when it comes time for us to leave this earth, that we are walking with God. And even if we get to the point that we cannot physically pick up one leg and put it in front of the other, or one foot and put it in front of the other, and we cannot walk in that sense, spiritually speaking, we need to end our lives walking with God. And when one does that, God will take him, take his soul, and keep it and reward it. There are a lot of lessons in talking about the man who walked with God. And what I hope you will determine for yourself, and that I will determine for myself after studying a lesson like this, is I'm going to walk with God to the best of my ability. If I haven't begun, I'm going to begin. I'm going to be active. I'm going to walk with him while I'm living the life here, and I'm going to walk with him as long as there is life, and be able to let him take my soul at the appropriate time. If your life cannot be described tonight as one that's walking with God, you need to make some changes. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to come asking for forgiveness, God will forgive. God will help you to be walking with him. If you need to do that, come as together we stand and sing.